word spoken that pierces you through and through. Think how he was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Good to see everyone here tonight. We appreciate so much your presence. And if you're visiting, really appreciate you being here. Glad you came. And hope you will open your Bibles, study with us from the Word of God. If you have any questions, any comments about anything that I might say, I'd be happy to talk to you about that. Have any questions about the church here, its work or worship, brethren here would be more than happy to sit down and talk to you about the things that they believe and practice. It's good to see those who are members here. We appreciate your being here very, very much. And we're talking about letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in each one of us. And so tonight we're going to talk about one of the most beautiful things the disciples of Jesus Christ must strive to be. To forgive. It's one of the hardest lessons that I preach. One, because I know how much I need forgiveness. Two, how much I need to forgive others. And how difficult that is. We've all suffered in some form or fashion. Someone's done us wrong. Someone has hurt us. Someone has sinned against us. You've been bitter. You've been angry. You've been upset. As a Christian, you feel guilty. And you wonder, how do I deal with this? How do I let it go? So tonight, what I really want to talk about, I really want to talk about how do we forgive? And I hope and pray that the lesson will be helpful and beneficial to you. Well, I want to begin with a couple of passages that I know that you're familiar with. In Matthew chapter 6, "For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, whenever I read those passages, however fast I'm trying to read, and I do daily Bible readings like I know you do, and you know you do your speed reading at times, but then there's passages that you read through, and it's just, you know, the brakes are put on, and you like, wow, I gotta let that soak a sec and think about that, read that again, and this is one of those passages. For if you forgive men, I think we all know how much we need to be forgiven. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So tonight we're talking about something that all of us absolutely, positively need. God's forgiveness. Why? Well, because we've sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there's another reason. Another reason is, we need to be able to forgive people that sinned against us. And why? Because of number one. I need forgiveness. So, if you was to answer the question of, is forgiveness easy or hard? Maybe for some, forgiving is easy. But wouldn't it kind of depend on what you're forgiving? What's been done? Because it might be just I've had people come up and apologize to me. I'm preaching. And afterwards, they come up and say, "Oh, I apologize because I went to sleep during church." Well, I didn't even know they went to sleep. You know, they're telling on themselves. And I don't know exactly how to respond to that. I'm glad I didn't put you to sleep. But anyway. But sometimes the idea of dealing with forgiving someone, I have found myself doing this. Someone comes up and ask for forgiveness of something that I may or may not be aware of. And then my response has been, well, that's okay. Well, if it was a sin, no, it wasn't okay. How you respond sometimes gives us a little bit of a problem. So I'm going to say this is a hard deal for me. Forgiving is a hard deal. And I don't mean to say that I've never forgiven anyone. I have forgiven people. But it's hard to do, depending on what's been done. So the way I'd like to begin is at the top with God's forgiveness. And we learn a very basic fundamental principle that God is love. I won't be doing it here now, but I think the interesting examination of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation about that topic, God is love, is mind-boggling. But we learn from the get-go, God is love. That's who He is. And because He is love, therefore He forgives. Daniel 9, in verse 9, a word that is used sometimes for love is or forgiveness is compassion. And God is compassionate. He has loving kindness. He has compassion. And you see that over and over and over in the Scriptures. Well, I want to suggest to us that He remembers our sins no more. So I'm very thankful that God forgives. Or first, I'm very thankful that God is love. I'm very thankful that God is compassionate. He forgives. And I'm also very thankful that He does not remember it anymore. Now that in and of itself should be our goal in regards to forgiveness. But we're going to go a little deeper than that. But I want to suggest, we talked about last night about showing the world that we are His disciples. And it had all to do with the way we love. In order to really forgive, you have got to love. If you don't love others, there's no forgiveness. Well, God is love. He does forgive. And then one other thing, He doesn't remember it anymore. I'm not God, neither are you, and we probably don't forget. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
And then automatically, I think along that line, that's the only way I can.
Yeah.
If somebody does something wrong to me, that's the way I look at it.
The idea of what would Jesus do?
Right.
Yeah. And I don't mean this in any kind of smart-alecky way, but that is our problem, is that we think about what Jesus would do, but we don't do what Jesus did. We sin. And Jesus never sinned. He always did the right thing. But as our goal, as our motto, as our you know, example, what would Jesus do is exactly right. Yeah, I think that's right. In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, he says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Remember last night, we are to love just as Jesus has loved us. Forgiveness is about forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So that's some high standards for us. If we want the beauty of Jesus to be seen in us, then here's how we need to be acting. Well, how do we forgive? What is the actual mental gymnastics that we need to go through to forgive someone? And I must be honest with you. Many years ago, someone come up and asked me and says, well, how do I forgive? And there was a specific example. It says, how do I forgive them? And here's my brilliant answer. Well, you just do it. That was about as bright as I could get with it. And, you know, and I realized after I said that, I thought, well, that was really dumb. That didn't help a bit. Just do it. So the me thinking about that through the years because of my own self is how do I get to point A and point B and point C? So here are a few things that I've thought about. Well, what does love do? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's turn there just for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 13, these characteristics, these qualities, however you want to refer to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you notice beginning verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant. Verse 5, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. As my understanding is, with the Koine Greek, original language of the New Testament, that's an accounting term. And it really has to do with keeping a ledger. Have you ever known anybody like that? That they actually keep up with everything you've ever done wrong to them. And all you need to do is sin one more time and they'll let you know all the other times that things you did wrong. Well, that is not love. When we love like God loves, we do not take into account a wrong suffered. We spent last night discussing that in detail. So the first thing is, how do you forgive? You have got to love the offender. Now, what does that mean? Well, you're kind and not jealous, and all of those verses 4 through 8 must apply, but specifically identifying that you need to stop taking into account the wrong suffered. In other words, you've got to stop writing that down and thinking about it and talking about it and not burying it. You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. Number two, you gotta release the offender from your punishment. If somebody's done something bad, okay, road rage. Somebody cuts you off. Somebody's riding too close to your bumper. Somebody went to sleep or is looking at their phone while the light turns red and you're in a hurry. Are you thinking in some way you can retaliate? If they're driving real slow and you're in a big hurry, don't you try to pass at some point, get in front of them and drive slower? What are we thinking? We're thinking in terms of revenge. We're thinking in terms of, you know, inflicting some kind of payment. You know, when I was growing up in the neighborhood up in Kentucky, or in Louisville, this is Kentucky, right? Up in Louisville, I lived in a neighborhood that there was a bunch of us guys about the same age, and we played ball every day. We played baseball, football, every kind of ball you could. We didn't play soccer back then. That was not a sport. Anyway, we played the real sports in those days, but we would fight and wrestle, and then we'd play some more sports, then we'd fight and wrestle some more. But here was the neighborhood rule, and probably some of you others had the same rules. If a guy hit you, and on a scale of 1 to 10, whether it was tackling or whether it was, you know, just fighting or whatever it was, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, you know, your sister's punch, or 10 would be like, you know, Mike Tyson knockout. You know, if a guy hits you 2, if he hits you 2, so how do you respond to that? 12. 12. That's how you respond. Teach that dude to hit me again. Yeah. I'll give you that little sissy knock. I'll show you. Boom. Right? So you have this mentality. I don't think it's just with guys that grew up in Louisville. I think it's everywhere. It's the idea when you're offended, when you're hurt, you want to repay. Now let's read Romans 12, verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. And you're familiar with these passages. Maybe didn't make the application to this. But never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never. Teach 10th grade Bible at Athens Bible School. And we've got some sports teams and so forth. And some of the girls that are in my class play basketball. And they were in the class one day. And they were talking about the team they had played that night or the night before. And how rough it was. And the girls were, you know, hitting each other and, you know, elbowing each other. And I just asked some of the girls. I said, well, how did you all respond? Well, we hit them back. We hit them back hard. One girl said, I just elbowed her right in the chin. And I said, man, you are great examples for Christ at Athens Bible School, man. You're awesome. Knock their teeth out. That's what we do. Now you're sitting there thinking, it's a sport. That's what you're supposed to do. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone except sports. Is that how your Bible reads? Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So here's the deal. Somebody sins against you. What should you do? Number one, you should love the offender. Do not take into account a wrong suffered. You should be kind to them. Secondly, release the offender from your punishment. Stop retaliating. Stop punishing them. How tough's that? I'm going to suggest to you that that's very tough. Because we think God needs help. And I'm his servant. And to be his servant, then I must do the Lord's will. Verse 20, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So evil has been done to you. How do you overcome that? How do you deal with that? You know the right answer, don't you? But in that moment, what do we do? Thirdly, do good to the offender. Verse 21, let's read it again. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Did you know that as disciples of Jesus Christ, letting our light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, that our mission is to overcome evil with good. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught you to love your enemies? Why does God want us to do that? No, we want to be like Jonah. Jonah had enemies, the Assyrians. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to them. Jonah said, oh, this is awesome. They are our enemies and this will give them a great chance to repent and God won't punish them. I'd love to do that. Thank you, Lord, for this assignment. Do you all remember reading Jonah that way? Why didn't Jonah want to go? Because they are his enemies. He wanted God to destroy them. He knew. In fact, later on, after he, you know, meets up with a big fish out in the sea, he goes to Nineveh, he preaches, and they repent How did Jonah react at the repentance of the Ninevites? He was mad. He was upset. And in Lowell Salee translation basically says that Jonah says, Lord, didn't I tell you when I go up there and preach to them that they would repent and you wouldn't destroy them? That's why I didn't go, Lord. What was his heart? His heart was, I don't want to preach to my enemies. I want you to kill them. Well, under Christ, that is not our mission. That is not our work. Go out and make as many enemies as you can so God can kill them. We go out and overcome evil with good. Is that hard? Don't celebrate the offender's failures. Somebody you don't like, somebody's done you wrong, someone you're mad at, someone treated you unfairly, something bad happens to them. Yes. We're happy about that. I'm convinced that this topic is so radically different from the way we normally think. That you're sitting there thinking, there is no way I can do this. Remember how we started? Do you want forgiveness of your sins? Then what must you do? What must you do? Treat the offender with the golden rule. Remember the golden rule? Matthew 7:12. Anybody remember what that says? Anybody? Speaketh, if you knoweth. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Or, one of the iron rules, do unto others before they get a chance to do unto you. Right? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but my guess is if we'd all be truthful, we could all raise our hand and say, been there, done that, I'm ashamed. That's how I've treated those who've hurt me or offended me. I have rejoiced that they have failed in some way, and I'm not about to treat them in a good way. Stop dwelling on the past. When you keep rehearsing in your mind what this person did to you, you keep rehearsing that, you keep rehearsing that, you keep rehearsing that. I mentioned this Sunday morning when we was talking about one of the rules of teaching is repetition, repetition, repetition. How do you forget something? Well, just keep going over it in your mind over and over and over and over and over and over. This is how you forget. You keep going over it in your mind all the time. Something wrong with that? If you want to forget it, you got to stop thinking about it. If you stop thinking about it, you'll stop talking about it. And if you stop talking about it, you'll stop acting an ungodly way. It has to begin in your thought process. I don't know that you ever completely forget the past. When someone has sinned against you, and I'm talking about really sinned against you, I mean, it can leave a tremendous scar. And while a scar can cease to hurt, but you still see the scar. And every time you see the scar, you're reminded. I've got a scar right above my left eye. And from time to time, I'll rub my eyebrow and I'll rub against that scar. And I remember playing football and having a major contact with a wide receiver, and both of our helmets hit each other, cut my eye, broke his nose. We wound up in the same hospital, and every time I rub that, I kind of have a flashback of that. I don't know if you ever forget some serious things in your life. But what you got to try to do as best you can, you've got to stop dwelling on it. How do you do that? In Philippians chapter 4, Paul makes a list there of the whatsoever things. Remember that passage? Whatsoever things. He lists several things. And he winds up and he says, think on these things. So when you have that moment of weakness and you're thinking about someone that has done you so wrong, and you're just, now you're going to get all mad again, you're going to get all hurt again, and you're going to get all upset again. When you even begin to start mentally going down that road, you need to redirect your thoughts to something that is good. Do not go down that road. Stop thinking about it. Because it's very difficult to forgive when you keep thinking about it. Forgiveness is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and anger. Are you bitter because of what someone did to you? Absolutely. Are you in the least bit angry about what someone has done so wrong to you? Absolutely. Well, what gets rid of that bitterness? What gets rid of that anger? It's forgiveness. What allows you to forgive? Love. Love of God, love for this person, and even love for yourself. Love has to be there. It's the motivating factor to forgive. And when you forgive, you get rid of the anger and the bitterness. Second part of that is, and it sets you free from the shackles of your own prison. Personal illustration. Most of you already know this anyway. My parents died a very horrible death. And for many years, I was angry about that, bitter about that. Mainly blaming my father. He's the one that pulled the trigger, literally. But as I thought more about it through the years, I realized that my mother was very capable of pushing my dad's buttons. And by that, if you don't understand that lingo, is that some people have the ability to know your weaknesses, and they love to, you know, to set you off. They love to mention something or say something that just causes you to, you know, just to react. And my mother was great at that. So I thought about, you know, well, she was probably not blameless. I don't know the details, but she probably was not blameless about that. So I was just bitter and angry. And I tried to just say the words, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. But I was still bitter and I was still angry. And it imprisons you. It shackles you. To go through the mental gymnastics of the first few things that I've talked to you about is the process of elimination of bitterness and anger and prison. Brother and sister in Christ, Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for us that we live our lives being angry and bitter and imprisoned because others have mistreated us. May I say this lovingly and kindly to myself and to all of you. As Christians, grow up. Set yourself free from that chain. Love as you ought. Forgive as you should. and you will release yourself from that prison. It is a process. It doesn't happen in 10 minutes. No one leaves a family without breaking some other's heart. I lost my sister to the world. Breaks my heart. I've been angry with her. I've talked to her on the phone at times when I was the older brother, and I just give her what for. Just skinned her. That didn't work well. We all have to learn love. We all have to learn forgiveness. We all have to learn, what would Jesus do? We don't always do what Jesus would have done. And that's sad. No one leaves the church without breaking someone else's heart. The last couple of years, has anybody left the Lord? Last 2 years? Probably exponentially more than before the last 2 years. The church is a family, not a business. Jesus wants us to be a family, not customers. That is when you gotta think on a minute. When there's a problem, work it out. Well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what. If we love the way Jesus loves us and we forgive the way Jesus forgave us, there's going to be a whole lot less people leaving the church. Now, people that leave the Lord, they're responsible for what they do. But I'm not sure we haven't helped a few by opening the door. And we'll be held accountable for that. If we'd have loved more, if we'd have forgiven more, if we'd just tried harder, been more sympathetic, more compassionate. I got those last couple of thoughts there from a fellow named Keith Stonehart. Maybe some of you guys know him. Someone says, oh, I have forgiven them, but I will never forget what they did to me. Did you know that a person that says that, and I've had people say that to me, oh, I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did. May God have mercy on your soul. Because that is not letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. I don't care what was done. That is not your end of the stick to whittle. I want nothing to do with them. I don't want to be anywhere near them. You ever felt that way? I'll just tell you, everything I read from the New Testament says clearly, that ain't right. That ain't right. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. What time is it? Okay. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. Again, a reference to the Sermon on the Mount. You recall here what the Lord said. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Contextually, perfect there in the context is loving your enemies. Remember last night we talked about God's love? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you love your enemies, can you forgive them? Can you stop treating them harshly? Can you get over your bitterness? And you're sitting there thinking, man, that's too tough. I can't handle that. Yes, you can. If you want to go to heaven, you can. Forgiveness doesn't excuse the behavior or their behavior. I want to make that very clear. There are some brethren that disagree with me about this, and that's okay because I think they have the right to be wrong. But the old argument of, can I forgive a brother that sins against me when he doesn't ask for forgiveness and or doesn't repent? My conclusion is yes. Because I can forgive my brother even if he doesn't ask for repentance. That does not excuse what he's done. That does not erase what he has done. But I can forgive that. I can move on. And who's going to deal with it? God is going to deal with it. That brother will still have to answer to God. If I can help in getting him to repent, sure. If I can help in some way to get them to make confession and to clear up things and to be forgiven of God, that would be great. I don't have to wait for that. I need the relief. I need the release. So please understand, forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Had a brother tell me, well, if you forgive someone and they haven't even repented of it, then you're saying God forgave them. I'm not saying God did anything. I don't tell God what to do. God does whatever he wants to do. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. There came a time in my life, brother and sister, that my mom and dad's death, I'll just say it plainly, I was sick of it making me miserable. And you got to let it go. And there's plenty of people to step up and sin against you and get you all riled up and make you sick of your world and steal your joy and your happiness of being a Christian. God did not intend that. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if they repent. If you have anything against anyone, next time you get ready to pray and ask God to forgive you your sins, think of this passage. Before you open your mouth and ask God to forgive you, ask yourself this simple question. Do I have anything against anyone? Am I holding a grudge against anyone? Am I angry at anyone? Am I bitter at anyone? I got to let it go. I got to let it go. I got to let it go. Now I can talk to God. Forgive me of my sins. Forgiveness. That is a beautiful thing. Forgiveness. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. Is that the bell? Does that mean I quit? I'm done. Okay. All right, we're done. Thank y'all.